So the title of today's sermon is Gifts of the Spirit. Can we say that together? Thank you. So now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Gifts of the Spirit. So I just encourage our young people, remember to just engage with your Bible. Don't play on your phone. Just give your attention both to the speaker and to the Bible. That's all you want to do for the next 40 to 50 minutes. So don't play on your phone. Don't be distracted. Give full attention to God and it will bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're reading verses. Let's just do 1 to 6 first before we do 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 6. Let's have two versions. Yes? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 6. New King James or New Living Translation. Yes? Yes. Tell us the version. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 6.
New King James Version. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all.
Amen. So today I will slow down and I'll do more teaching. So if you've been here in my last two sermons, I've done more preaching. Because there's a time for preaching, there's a time for teaching. Amen. A preacher proclaims. There's a time that you just proclaim. Yeah? Because proclamation helps to stimulate people into action. Amen? And then a teacher explains. And the explanation helps to deepen people in understanding. Amen? So today, I believe we do more teaching than preaching. Amen? So now, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 6. What is the first thing you notice there? The first thing, there are many things there, but what's the first thing you can notice? Yes, let me find somebody else. Just look at it. Look at your Bible, 1 Corinthians 12. And you will need to look at New King James this time, because I'm not sure every version will help you notice what I want you to notice. What's the first thing you can notice? Okay, you know what? I'm looking at my sister there and I say, it's not fair. Look at whatever version you have. Tell me the first thing you notice. Okay, anybody? The first thing, remember? The first thing you notice, yes?
That he doesn't want people to be uninformed.
Yes! Yes! Any other word you saw in your version? This is other words for that?
Ignorant.
Ignorant. Yeah? He doesn't want you to be. Now, let me say something to you. Now, Bible says, and I'll come back to this later, because a sermon is coming soon. It will be hot. I need my spray, but I'm just telling you. Just get ready. Is there anything in the New Testament, yeah, applies to you as a believer? Both the ones you like and the ones you don't like. Amen. You don't get to pick and choose. Amen. You take it all on board. Amen. Now, the person writing this book is who? Apostle Paul. That's the person that God raised as an apostle. That's the person that brought the gospel to the West. Amen? Now, Apostle Paul, I want you to understand, is not just any other. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, he's the greatest apostle of all time. Amen? He was well trained in Jewish law. He was trained to the level that he could call himself a Pharisee. Amen? Before Jesus arrested him. Yeah? And then Jesus gave him a mission and also revelations. So you see all three, wrote about half of the New Testament books. I just want to give you the back, just put some CV there so you pay attention. Of course, the Holy Spirit is writing, but it's also using the right verse to communicate this. It says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, somebody help me. What do you think he's trying to say to them? Let's just say it in a different way. What do you think he's trying to say? In simpler language. Yes, you can be imaginative. You see, if I tell, you know, concerning this, I don't want you to be ignorant. What am I trying to tell you? Yes. I'm teaching.
I'm trying to teach you. I want you to
yes, learn. Teach more. Yeah, come to you and say, look, regarding this matter, sister, regarding this matter, I don't want you to be ignorant. What am I trying to tell you?
Wants them to be aware.
Yes, more. Yes, thank you. That's the feminine version. That's the masculine.
You're ignorant, and I don't want you to be.
Yes. So basically, there's ignorance there, and I don't want you to be. More. Nobody has hit what I'm trying to say. If I tell you, I say, concerning this matter, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. What am I trying to tell you? It's what? It's very important. It's important. Or another way of saying that, there is a cost to your ignorance. Amen? Are you with me? You can go through all life and miss out on God's best for you because you are what? Ignorant. You can make heaven even, but you miss out on what God had in mind for you on earth because you were what? Ignorant. Let me explain the ignorance. The ignorance, there are many levels of ignorance. There's ignorance, like you don't know about it at all. Yeah? But I don't think that's what he's saying here. Because we know later that there were spiritual gifts in Corinth. You see that in 14. Yeah? So, there's one level of ignorance I don't know at all, and I don't care about what? Knowing. You know, there are people like that. Yeah? I don't know God. I went out outreach and I spoke to a young person, 14-year-old, and I was like, well, I don't know if God exists. That's fair. I can understand that. If you don't know if God exists, I can understand. But the one that bothered me was that he said, I don't want to know. That one bothered me. You don't know if God exists. Okay, I get it. But how can you not want to know? That means that you are not genuine. You have a pre-bias. And it came out later, of course, that you had a pre-bias. If you truly don't know if God exists, you should want to know. Okay? So there's that type of ignorance where they don't know and they don't want to know. Yeah? But another type of ignorance where you know, but you don't know sufficiently. Because if you know something and you don't know it rightly or you don't understand it, you will misapply it or misuse it. And I believe that's what he's saying to them here. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be well informed. I want you to understand so that you can go for it and then apply it correctly. And it can give you the right type of benefit it should give you. Amen? Say, I refuse. To be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Okay, we just confessed 1 Corinthians. You know, confession here is not only my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. It's still confession of the word of God. But this one too is worth confessing. I refuse what? To be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Amen. Because it's good for me. It's important that I'm well informed. Amen. Okay, next thing. Let me move on. Actually, I just wanted to hit that point. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So what it's saying there is that the Holy Spirit, yeah, is the one behind spiritual gifts. But it's not only one kind of gift. There are many kinds of gift. We'll look at them later. In the list we have there, we have 9 of them. Yeah? There are different kinds. But it's the same Spirit. Amen? There are different kinds, but it's the same what? Spirit. Now, there are different kinds of services or ministries. But it's the same Lord. Let me explain that. So, What do I explain? Like in the church, you have the pastor. You know, someone else may just be a someone may be a pastor and teacher. Someone may be a teacher, just a teacher alone. Someone may be an evangelist. Evangelist is different from someone just everyone is called to go to outreach and preach. Yeah? But an evangelist has a special call. Yeah? Like a vocation. Yeah? To regularly go out and preach gospel to people who reach, like a vocation, like a daily vocation. Yeah? There is the prophet, there is the apostle. Yeah? They're all different types of services. That's not all. Because we're all called to serve. Yeah? Yeah? There's the minister of helps. It's the broadest ministry. Yeah? Because in the ministry of helps, you are doing something to help the pastor function well. Yeah? So for example, when my wife is here now, and today she's not here, I've missed her help. I couldn't even find the moment to just sit down and say nothing. There's a ministry of helps. When the choir comes in, it's also a ministry of helps. Yeah? They help that, you know, that higher offices where it pertains to worship or praise worship. Yeah? There's ministry of helps that can apply to setting up the church, clearing up the church, organizing the equipment, organizing the media. Yeah? There are different ministries. Yeah, there are different services. There are people who do the Sunday school. There are people who do, you know, hospitality in the kitchen. There are different services. Everyone can do something for God. Now, actually, everyone is called to do something for God. If you find yourself in a situation in your life where you are not doing anything for God, it should bother you. Amen. It should what? It should bother you. It has to. You are burning all your energy, you know, on the train. Or in the car, jumping from one school to another, or from one place to another, serving man. Amen? But what are you doing to serve God? Some say, okay, I'm serving God in my workplace. Yes, but you ought also to serve God in your house. Like what I tell my sons. See, you cannot just be consuming alone. That's not your calling. Just to what? Consume. Consume does not only mean food. It also means you are consuming the Wi-Fi. Because I'm paying. I'm paying. Amen. That's not your calling. Just to what? Consume. You consume the electricity. You consume the Wi-Fi. You consume the food. Yeah? You consume even the comfort of the bed. You consume. Now, that's okay. You have to consume to survive. I get it. But you also have to what? Produce. Yeah? If you're going to consume the food, after food, what happens? There'll be dirty dishes. I mean, I know you can understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah? Somebody has to clear them. The same person that cooks the dishes, the same person that buys the food, no, works for the money for the food, then buys it, then transports it home, cleans it from the car into the kitchen, then cooks it, then serves it, then the food is ready. Have you been there? You've been there, yeah? You told me you've been there in the past. Yeah? So the boys will just come and eat the food. Then the same person will now clear the dishes and watch and say, no, that is not the kingdom of God. Amen. If you are doing it, you repent. I'm talking to the mother or the parent that is doing that. You should repent. You are not training your child well. Amen? They have to be part of the process. Yeah? You give them something, but you must train them to give us something. I know why you do it all the time, because I've been there. Because sometimes it can be so difficult getting them to do it. But you have to go through the process. Because you are giving them something. Amen? Yeah, it may feel easy to be like the champion. We just say, oh, food is ready, come on. But you're not training them well. Amen? You must make sure they are part of the process. So that when they leave you, yeah, they have learned to be responsible. Amen? So we're all called to serve. That's why I digress. We're all called to serve. So like in a church like this, you must find something to do. Amen? And if you don't have anything to do, come and see me. Yeah? That's why I'm a pastor. Yeah, even if I have to fast and pray, we will locate you. Amen. And then finally, there are different kinds of activities, but the same God. The fact that I'm a pastor does not mean I can just go and pastor any church. Amen? You have to be where God wants me to be. I'm talking about the Father. You see, the Trinity is involved. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, yeah, and the Father. The Father tells you where you ought to be. Amen? If God has called you to be in a church, serve God in that church. Amen? Because if that's where God wants you to be, that is where you will please Him. Amen? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Are you with me? You can go and do something very big that the master does not want. I can't explain this. I don't understand. Sometimes some people, I know it's not out of personality, but you need to check your personality. If you want to please the master, find out what the master wants. Don't go off and do your own thing and hope that the master will like it. That's why Cain failed. Cain. The sacrifice of Cain, I believe, was physically better than the sacrifice of Abel. That's my belief. Because we know from the story that Cain was a hardworking man. He was a tiller of the ground. And we read earlier that, you know, God told Adam that he would till the ground. Yeah? That was the consequence, that he would have to work hard. So I see Cain as the provider for the family. Even he was the one that tilled the ground. Abel did not. Even from the result of the tilling, he will feed them all at Abel. And by the way, these are not small people. As in, when you read that story, you are thinking, oh, maybe Cain was. How old do you think Cain was? Let me help you. Anybody, how old do you think Cain was and Abel when God called them to sacrifice to him? Any guess?
Maybe like,
just say what you've always thought.
28.
Oh. Okay, thank you, sir. Anybody else? You know, like if you're reading your Bible stories, it's just going to deceive you. I mean, those Bible stories with pictures. Yeah? Anybody read Cain and Abel in Bible stories with pictures? How did they depict Cain? How it was Cain? How it was Abel? Sorry? Teenagers. It is very likely that Cain was already married at this time of this sacrifice. And if you understand that, you will not have any problem with where did Cain find his wife from. Amen. Cain was Abel's big brother. It's not like 2 years. Amen. He was his big brother. He took care of him. Amen. I'm trying to explain to you what it means to please God. Yeah? God says, bring me a sacrifice. When God says, bring me a sacrifice, find out what God wants. You can't impress God by going off and just doing your own thing. God is not like that. Amen? Find out what God wants. Let's open that. Let's open Bible verse so you see that, you know, whatever I say, I must back it up with Bible verse so that you don't think that this man is telling me a story. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11:6. And we're still looking at spiritual gifts. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Are you there? Okay. Let's do 6 before we do 4. So somebody give me Hebrews 11:6. Anybody like to read? Hebrews 11:6. Someone else? Someone who has not read today? Hebrews 11:6. Yes? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Hebrews 11:6. Tell us which version.
New King James Version.
Okay, go for it.
But without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Without faith, it is impossible to what?
Please Him.
Praise God.
For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen. Let me explain something about faith to you. Faith is not just having a positive idea of what God can do. Yeah? I believe God can do this. I have faith. It's part of it, but that's not the depth. Yeah? Hebrews 11:6 is defining faith to us. He said faith means that you believe that God is for real. Amen. It means that if I have faith now, if I have all of you people now trying to push me one way, and God is speaking to my heart and say, go the other way, I will ignore all you people that I can see and go the way God says. That's faith, because I believe that God is real. Amen. The fact that I cannot see him does not mean he's not there. And the fact that I cannot hear him in an audible voice does not mean I should not obey what he's telling me in my heart. So faith means that I believe that God is for real. He is present. You know what that word Jesus says? How can I do this? See, nobody's here, but how can I do this and sin against God? So Joseph had, he could see that God is there, even when Potiphar's wife was tempting him. That's faith. Then he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Can you see that? So you can't please God if you don't diligently seek him. If you don't find out what God wants of you, you can't please God. Amen. Because you just go off and do your own thing. It's called what? Presumption. And you expect God to be to manage that. Amen. God is not a manager. He's a director. Amen. Amen. You can't just throw anything at him. Amen. He's the father of all. Is God is the father of all. You find out what he wants. Amen? So I say, how can I find out what he wants? Pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Amen? What do you want me to, how do you want me to serve you? What are you calling me to do now? Amen? That's the difference between Cain and Abel. So, Cain is the macho, strong man, hardworking man. Yeah? I guess that his bands were full. Fed the whole family. Yeah? So when God said, let's bring sacrifice, what does he do? He brings all his products because he's the big guy. He can impress God. Amen? And he did not take time to find out what God wanted. Abel was not as strong as Cain. But Abel, the strength of Cain, the strength of Abel, read verse 4 for me. Verse 4, same person. Verse 4. Hebrews 11:4.
By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
So, yeah, go on, please.
Through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it he, being dead, still speak.
Amen. So, how did Abel, do better than Cain? He found out God's will. And he did it. Amen. Didn't set out to try to impress God with his own ways. Yeah? He just did God's will. We can organize a big service, organize a big concert, and everybody's singing, everybody's waving, and say, we shook Basingstoke. That's not how to shake. What? You just did it man's way. To shake Basingstoke is so simple. God will just tell you, may just tell you, go in front of McDonald's. You know, that's what he told Abraham. He said, leave where you're going and go to a place that I will show you. Yeah? Go in front of McDonald's. Stay there. Yeah? And I'll give you the next instruction. So he went there and stayed there. Everybody was going in and coming out. You're looking like a fool, a stupid fool. Then, at a particular moment, God says, go and talk to that lady. Huh? God already knows that that lady, if he captures her, something will shift in Basingstoke. Amen? So, but if you want to go man's way, you will go and do something that catches the eye and pulls the crowd. Are you with me? But you're not doing the will of God and you're not in faith. You think you're in faith, you're not in faith because faith always comes with listening to God and obeying him. Amen? And when you want to obey God, it can be difficult. Because everything around you may be saying the other way. Yeah? And it's much easier to impress or to try to impress people. We call it eye service. And many times you think you don't do eye service. But every human being has the capacity to do what? Eye service. That's why if somebody wants to visit your house, you tidy it up quickly. Even if you're a man, you still what? Eye service. Oh, but some people don't care, yeah? Amen. So I was just explaining to you that there are different types of activities by the same God. So even when you know you are serving God, you want to also serve Him in the way that He finds acceptable. Amen. If I'm a pastor, I have to pastor the way He wants me to. Now, another issue about this activity is that God can call someone to do something in one way and call another person to do it in a different way. Two people can go out preaching. One decides that he wants to just go for the people that are homeless. Yeah? And feed them first, then give them the gospel. Amen? But that's not the only way to preach the gospel. But that may be what God has put on his heart to do. Amen? The other person may stand by the corner and be distributing tracts. Yeah? They're still preaching the gospel. The other person may be operating one little corner, just praying. Just looking for a fish, only one fish in 1 hour. Amen. It's still what? It's still the gospel. There are different kinds of activities, but it's the same God. So it means I must be sensitive. So I may have a spiritual gift, but then that gift must be used within my office where God has called me to serve Him. And even when I'm serving God, I must find out, I need to be where, in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. Amen. For example, I can sing. Do you know I can sing? I was in the choir growing up. I don't have any business in the choir here, do I? Why? Where's the mic? Yes. Why don't I have any business in the choir in this church?
That is not what God has called you to do.
Amen. So what happens if I start meddling with the choir all the time?
You veer off God's course.
I veer off. You know what I'll be doing? Half of my sermon, I'll be singing. You know, there are preachers that do that. Amen. You have to focus on what God has called you to be. To do. You may have many, but focus on the one He wants you to do now. Otherwise, all your talents will just waste. It will waste. You will have it, but you will. 5 years will go, you've not used it. Yeah? You're just wasting. Because you can't focus on what God has told you. And sometimes, when God starts telling you to do things, it may start with a little thing. Yeah? It may start what? A little thing. Remember the early days, you know, of this church? It's not early days, I've done it for years. When I'll come here on Sunday and come to set up alone. Sometimes it's even alone. Many times I have the people of my sons helping, but sometimes it's just me alone. And I don't sleep well Saturday into Sunday. I've tried. It just doesn't come. If I do 5 hours, I've done well. But my normal sleep is 7. And there were times I was feeling bad. Then God opened my eyes. Amen. You know, if God put you on the stadium and you're preaching to, you know, the whole crowd from Basingstoke, yeah? You will feel that that's a very special job, isn't it? It's not as if your sermon is more special than the one I'm preaching now. It's just the crowd that made it special, yeah? But God opened my eyes. Yeah? Firstly, there are people that every morning, they go to the gym to exercise, isn't it? Anybody here go to the gym in the morning? Don't be shy. It's not a bad thing. Have you stopped going? Oh, okay. Amen. And you know, you burn all that energy carrying. What do you do in the gym? What? You said. Well, I mean, what exactly do you do? What do you do? What do you say? What, tell me, what do people do at the gym? What? Weightlifting. They will lift that weight. So Holy Spirit showed me that speaker is a weight. Lift it for me. The difference is that they're just lifting a weight. Yeah? For nothing. But me, I'm lifting that weight for the Lord. You see the difference? That's faith. That's faith. That's faith. That's what takes to please God. You can see beyond what the crowd sees. Amen. It's simple like that. It's just simple obedience. Amen. I see some people. And by the way, I'm not targeting anybody. I just want to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me. On Sunday morning. Yeah? Do you know what they will be lifting on Sunday morning? They will be sitting on the edge of the football field. Yeah? They took their children. And I'm not targeting you. I'm just telling you what they will do. So when the ball goes out, yeah? They will run. To go and what? Pick the ball. Yeah, and bring it back. Amen? But me, what I was doing is I was running to lay the cables. We are both running. Amen? It's just that one is for nothing. I mean, eternal value. When you look at the eternal value of it, it's nothing. Yeah? But that one is for souls. You see that? So I'm just explaining to you there are different kinds of activities. But it's the same God. And sometimes you want to impress God by going all the way to Japan. And I'm not targeting you. Amen. But what about basic stock that you live in? There are different type of activities, but it's the same word. God. The one Japan you're going for, you is going to spend money. You're going to use your holidays. Yeah? You're going to, you know, a lot of effort. But this one is just next door. Every Sunday, you can come here and serve God here. Amen. Then if you now do the Japan one, it's a bonus. Hallelujah. But sometimes people are more motivated by the big things and you forget the little things. And then in that process you've missed God. Because there are different type of activities. Amen? But what? It's the same God. Amen. Say with me, say, I refuse to be useless in the church. Amen. That's for somebody. Amen. That's for what? Somebody. Someone said, oh, you know, someone told me, well, I've done all that when I was younger. The Holy Spirit is talking, you know, this message is changing a little, but I know that Holy Spirit wants to say something to you, that's why. Because I have a sermon prepared. It's not that I do have a sermon. So, those days when I was younger. Maybe, when I say younger, maybe now you're 50 plus. You will get there, don't worry. You get. You say amen. Say amen. It's a good thing. Say amen. It's not a bad thing. As I say, you get there. It's a good thing. Amen. And then you look at the days when you were 30s. And first, I serve God. I've tried. Now it's time to take things easy. Yeah? You remember the parable of the rich fool? Yeah? His ground yielded a lot. And he said, what? I will store it. And I will take things what? Easy. Amen. The kingdom doesn't work that way. If you choose to take it easy, you can lose everything. Amen. Hallelujah. So you don't sit back. Don't sit back in charge and take it easy. When I say take it easy, you know. Because you know your potential. You know you're functioning below potential. You know. Nobody needs to, you know. Your conscience, you know. You are under no right to take anything easy. That's not the type of master you're serving. Amen. He wants you to be ready. And he wants you to be active and diligent till rapture. Amen? Till he calls you home. And he says what? Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. See, there are different types of services, but it's the same Lord. And there are different types of what? Activities. But it is the same what? The same God. I've not even started spiritual gifts, but this is foundational. Because gifts cannot be separated. Oh, no, they can. Should not be separated from service. And service should not be separated from operation, the operations of God. Yeah? For example, let's ask myself God in this church 20 years. And God wants me to move on. Although I've now built a very big infrastructure and life is comfortable and I'm the most popular preacher in town. You see, if I stay, I've missed God. Because the operations was, you're starting to move forward. But you know, people will stay and they will still feel good. People will celebrate like that's a big man of God, but they've missed God. Because God wasn't wanting to be there. Are you with me? Amen? Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2. Let's deal with that. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's read verse 1-2. One to five, Revelation 2, 1 to 5. Yes, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. A young person, up to 20 years old. Anyone? Yes, yes. Look, you can't even say no. She already directed me. I'm not going to change my mind. Revelation 2, 1 to 5. I mean, what are you there for? You are young. You have a mouth, you have a brain, and you are young. Why can't you read? Amen. Wait until you are 90 years. Yeah? Then you can refuse to read. And say, I've tried. Revelation 2, 1 to 5. Go for it.
Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are all liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. I'm going to explain this part of the Bible to you. Then we'll round up. So there will be a part two of this sermon. I did that way so that I can't rush away from what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today. See, for many years I've read that place. And I've come up with an impression of what you're going to tell me now. Because I'm going to ask you now. Until the Holy Spirit showed me something deeper, and I will show you. So firstly, the question is this. What is the problem of this church? What is the problem of this church? Based on what you read. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Look at it. And tell me. What is the problem of this church? What is Jesus trying to correct? Why did they miss it? What are they missing? What is the problem? Yes, sir.
They're missing the fire.
They're missing what? The fire. They've lost what? The fire. Yes! That's good. More? That's actually a very good start. More? Come on, church. Revelation 2, 1 to 5. What's the problem with this church?
Patience.
They have or they don't have?
They don't have.
Okay. Any other answers? What's the problem? What can you see there? What can you see with this church?
Lost their first love for God.
They lost or they left. Both they left or they lost their first love. Yes, any other answer? Think about it. What's the problem of this church? Because Jesus has come there to correct something. Something is wrong. Yeah? Something is wrong. You know, something can be wrong with the church. And Jesus can come and say, and correct it. And he can also give you a warning that if this is not corrected, there is a cost. There is a punishment. Yes, any other answer? You see, the worst thing you can do about this this part of this 215 is to title it the Loveless Church. That's not the message. It's not like, oh, this church is not loving. Yeah? There's no love in this church. That's not the message there at all. Amen. Let me show you there. Go to Ephesians. By the way, this is the Ephesian church. I will tell you the history there. I'm sure that my brother Toby can do more of the history, but I will try you. I'll do my a little bit again. So is the city of Ephesus. You can read it in Acts, it's in Acts. That's where Paul, yeah, spent some time to establish his ministry, yeah, in the whole Asia Minor. So when you see all those churches there, the base is Ephesus. That's where he spent time. Yeah? So basically, it was from this church that other branches are planted. So all those other churches in Revelation, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, they are all offshoots of what? Ephesus. Ephesus is the lead. Because that's where Paul started from. And then when he left, he handed over to Timothy. Are you with me? They are the lead. They had the first place. They were the leader. Amen? I hope you can see what's going on. Now, look at what's happening there in Ephesus. Look at their works. Jesus started saying, I know, verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience. Hello? They had what? Labor. When you say, just say, I know your labor, he's talking about your labor of love. So they have love. When he's talking about your works, the works of your faith. It talks about your patience, it's the patience of your hope. Yeah? I know it. I know it. Don't forget that he said that. I know it. Yeah? You cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested the apostles who are not. You have found them liars. You've persevered and have patience. Second time, have patience. And have labored for my name's sake. And have not become weary. I don't know if you can see what I'm trying to show you. Once upon a time, they were on fire. Yeah. They did it all. They were the leader. Let's go to outreach. They were in the front. Prayer meeting. They were the prayer warrior and the prayer champion. Amen. They were doing it all. They were active, alive, engaged. Devoted, committed. They were in forefront. They were the ones that sent people to the other churches to strengthen them. Yeah? They did it, and they did it for years. But a time came, yeah, where they lost the fire. Amen? He said, you've left your first love. You know what you mean? You lost your first love. You've lost what? The fire. The cares of this life. The deceitfulness of riches and the love of other things has entered your heart. And when it does, it kills the fire of God. You're no longer passionate about God. You're no longer thirsty for God. You're no longer thirsty for righteousness. You're no longer thirsty for holiness. You're no longer thirsty for the salvation of souls. It doesn't move you. You're no longer thirsty, you know, for the church to grow, to move forward. You're not motivated to want to serve God in church. I've done it all. I say all these things you're doing. I've done it. I've done it for 20 years. I've done my own bit. Amen. So Jesus comes and says, that's what he told them. If you don't repent and go back to the first works that you used to do, I will take your lampstand and remove it from its place. You know what that means? They will lose their position. They will lose their relevance. They were in the forefront. But you look at that story in Revelation. A church overtook them later. A smaller one. Philadelphia. Yeah? He said, you have a small strength. There's a small church. Yeah? They overtook them. But this was the leader. He was the leader. I will take it. I'll take a lance from his place. You will lose your place. You will lose your position. Your lead position. Yeah? You become, the first shall become now what?
the last, because they lost the fire. You with me? So say with me, I refuse
to be cold. So if I want to title this church, I won't call them the love church, I'll call them the cold church.
The what?
The cold church. They lost the fire. Now let me tell you, a cold believer is not an unbeliever. Yeah? A cold believer is someone who had the fire but lost it. Now, I've preached it before. If you have never had the fire, you were never born again. Because the fire is a symptom of the first love. So if you never had the fire, you never had what? The first love. So let's go and fix you from that point. But if you are cold, you had the fire. Something happened somewhere along the line. Yeah? Sometimes it's an offense. You got offended. Yeah? Then you put back. Yeah? I say, I will take it what? Easy. Sometimes you are offended with God. Maybe he didn't give you what you wanted. Or you're offended with man. Then you pull back. Yeah? The fire start dying. See that? So, sometimes it's not an offense. Sometimes it's what? It's a distraction. You're distracted by the many things that the devil uses to distract people. Because that is business. His business is to distract you. Yeah, we'll round up in 3 minutes. Let me tell you something. If you want to get lost, you will get lost. Hello? Hallelujah? Bible says that seek and you will find. Yeah? But we can reverse it. Yeah? The principle of getting lost totally is to miss your way and not retrace your steps. Let's just say that again. So, if you want to get lost completely, what you need to do is miss your way. You know, like you're sat now saying, turn around or turn something when possible, yeah? Let's say that. And he said, keep quiet. Keep quiet, you this lady. So I'm driving to Saturn. I like the lady voice. My wife's like, oh. Moment we enter Basingstoke, she's tired of the voice. I was like, was this not the voice guiding you all the way from London? Well, what happened that you just don't want to hear this voice anymore? So I'm forced to put it down. He says, turn around when possible. You missed your way. He said, no. It's happened to me. Because you believe you know the way. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you something perfect. You are driving. You believe that you know the way. And he's telling you to say, no. You keep going. Keep going. So long you keep doing that, you will get lost completely. You find yourself in the jungle. Amen? Let's rise up. I want to believe that God has spoken to you. More than half of this message was unplanned. Like, it's not the way I planned the message. I wanted to speak more of the gift of the Spirit, which we are still doing, but I was just only going to explain to you the different types of gifts and different types of services and different types of activities. And the Holy Spirit then has just taken this, has taken it deeper. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I have no doubt. He's stirring up something in you. Amen? He's stirring up something in you. Some of you think that you have time. And you don't know that you don't have time. Jesus could come back next year. And all the things you wanted to do for God that you kept procrastinating, all the little things that God is telling you to do now that you're not doing, yeah? You have no more time. Time will be lost. You can't do it anymore because you never got doing it. Amen? Many times you have the good wishes in your heart. You know what you like to do for God. I mean, that if you're genuinely born again, there are things you know you want to do for God, because I feel it too. The difference is do it now. Start now. Amen? Start what? Now. Don't procrastinate it. Now, that's one category. Second category is that you feel you've done your bit. Amen? The day you get to that point, you know that means that you've lost purpose. Amen? So long you're on this earth, you can serve God. God can change your activities, but he will not retire you. Amen? He can change what? Your activities.
But those activities will still be there to serve him. And by the way, you don't get to choose the activities. You get to find out what God wants of you and do it. And someone say, oh, but God has not spoken to me. If he has not spoken to me, do the little one you know to do in your church. Amen? In that place, God will speak to you. But if you don't start doing the little ones, God will not trust you with the big ones. Because he that is faithful in little, what? Will be faithful in much. Talk to God today and say, Lord, I want to serve you. Amen. Pray. I say, Lord, every way I've gone my own way, like Cain. And they don't listen for your voice or listen to your voice. Forgive me. You know, that's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good Father. Amen. Any day you're ready, he's ready to mend you. He's ready to put your life on the mend. Amen. If you've missed your way and you come to him, he will not turn you back. He will stop. He will put you on the mend. He knows the way back. Pray. Say, Lord, every way you are young, you have energy, you can't serve God. What are you serving? Your phone? Your friends? Your social media? Fashion? You can't serve God. You have money. When you didn't have a job, you were praying. You said, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on this poor soul. Now you have a job, you have money. But God cannot taste your money. God cannot taste your money. God cannot taste your money. You're giving pittance. But you say you love God. You say, and you know the first thing, God keeps quiet. He'll keep quiet because the day of reckoning is coming. Pray and say, Lord, I want to give you my best. You know, whether we all like it or not, our life is ticking towards the end. Whether we like it or not. Every day is a tick towards the end. All that will be left is, what, how did I serve? Was I a good and a faithful what? Servant. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? If the word ended today, can I say, Lord, up until this moment, I gave my best. You know, if that's all you could say, you tried. That yes, no, I gave my, I didn't get to a destination, but I, in the last moment, I did not hold anything back. Pray to God, say, Lord, help me. I want to live my life, holding nothing back. That's some guy that wrote it, I said, withholding nothing. Withholding what? Nothing. And this is not just about money. Please, please don't misunderstand me. You know, there was a song trending, you know, in Nigeria. By the way, when something is trending, you need to watch out. Amen? Because that's, you know, the word. When something trends in the world, watch out. Amen? It is not about spending the billions. Amen? It's not about spending the billions or spending for Jesus. It's about giving yourself. Amen? You give what? Yourself. You give yourself completely. He will tell you what he wants of you. Amen? Pray! There are people who spend the billions and God is not there. Praise the Lord. I give myself to you. I yield myself to you. I choose to be on fire for you. I choose to serve you with my life. I choose to serve you with in every little way. Let's start from the little, in every little way. The little opportunity you give me, I choose to be faithful in them. And that starts today. There's no procrastination. It's today. It's right now. You know what? Because everything that people are chasing in this world, it will perish with this world. What will remain of your life is what you did to serve Jesus. Amen. And if I didn't tell you that, you know, I wasted your time. I deceived you. Pray and say, Lord, I will live for you. It's a tragedy for someone to have been the first and now they are the last. That's a tragedy. Pray and say, Lord, I want to remain at the forefront of doing your will. Amen. Pray. Say, Lord, anything you want to change or do differently in my life, show me. Show me. I will yield to you. I will live for you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the spiritual gifts. Thank you for the different services, but the same Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the different gifts, but the same Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the different activities or different operations, whether little or big, whether little or big, but the same Lord. Help us to be found day by day and moment by moment in the very center of your will. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.